Amen.
Amen.
All right. Take your Bible, Romans chapter 12. I want to talk to you six things you ought to build on as a Christian. I hope you're a Christian. Hope you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I hope there's been a time in your life that you stopped and realized that you were a sinner and that you needed a great Savior. I hope there's a time in your life that you said, you know what, this is not the way I want to go. Maybe there's a time in your life you said, you know, I've had it with this world. And I realized that because of my sins, I have to pay a terrible price. And I want to make sure that it's taken care of. And you bowed your head and you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. And you asked to come in your heart. I did that when I was 14 years old. I don't know how I missed it for so many long time. So many years I just kept missing it. I went to a good Baptist church. They had great preachers, great evangelists, all kinds of people come to my church. And man, I'm telling you, well, I don't know how I missed it. I don't know how I missed it. But I did. And when I was 14 years old, I was amazed that I was headed for hell. It just seemed like God said, son, this is the last time I'm going to talk to you. You haven't been listening to me very good. And boy, I'll tell you what, I got a hold of it. Amen. Well, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you. I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to miss out on this thing. I'm going to beseech you. Some of you know what it is to have your parents to beseech you. Listen to me! You know, look at me! And a lot of times we need to have beseeched. Need to beseech. That's good, hon. Just sit right down there. That's good. She's lonesome. Her mom was not with her, and you'll be happy. She's happy you sit with her. Amen. So I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about something that many times we forget about our lives. Here's a short little poem that kind of illustrates what it costs us when we sin. You listen to me? It costs when we sin. When we go against the principles of the Word of God, it's going to cost us. This is the debt I pay. Just for one riotous day, years of regret and grief, sorrows without relief. Pay it, I will, to the end, until the grave, my friend. Give me a true release. Give me the class of peace. Sly was the thing I thought. Slight was the thing I bought. Small was the debt I thought. Poor was the loan at best. God, the unrest. Paul Lawrence wrote that back in the late 1800s. Some things you're going to find out in your life that you just one time and all of a sudden just completely change the whole attitude and whole thing of your whole life by one thing. That's why the Bible says it is important for us to know the Word of God, to study the Scriptures, to heap it upon us, precept upon precept, point upon point, that we would study the Word of God and say, you know what, that's why the preacher says every day you ought to be in your Bible. Every day, every day, every day. If you're a new Christian or you haven't studied your Bible much, my suggestion is you go to Genesis, you go to 1 John, first five books. I would read that for a whole month. Every day I'd read those five chapters every day. If you're just a young Christian, you haven't read your Bible much, 1 John. 1 John is for the baby Christians. It's for us little ones that don't know a lot about the Word of God. And we go to 1 John. 1 John, it's clear in the back of your Bible. 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. Revelation, the back, last book. Come back to Jude and then go to 1 John. It'll be amazing what it'll do for you if you do it for 1 month. Every day, you're going to read five chapters. That's not too much. Take about 10, 15 minutes, read it. Just meditate on the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. Secondly, I would suggest you go to Genesis. Read Genesis. It's a good place to start because that's where everything started. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. You ought to read Genesis. It tells you about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. It tells you about the background of the Israelites. And then it'll give you some good ideas about that. Then you, of course, read Exodus. If you're really needed of a lot of love or in comfort, go to the Psalms. Read the Psalms. These are things you need to read. Those things. My suggestion is that you would take the first five books in the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John tell you everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did while He was on earth here. Acts tell you about the local church which we're in now today, and very important you read that. My suggestion for you young men, football player, you ought to read Proverbs every day. Today is the 26th, isn't it? I think it's the last time I checked it. Today you ought to read Proverbs chapter 26. Tomorrow 27. You know, read a proverb every day, every day. You can read the Psalms through every month by reading five Psalms a day. Boy, when you hit 119, boy, that about kill you, amen. 176 verses in that one, amen. But it's good. You ought to read, but my suggestion is read 1 John. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Read Genesis. Enjoy it. Enjoy the Word of God. It's great. Amen. Well, I want to talk about this, about sin. Six things to build upon. I want you to know that sin will take you farther than you had planned to be, keep you longer than you planned to stay, and cost you more than you are planning on willing. Sin is to destroy us. When sin hath what? It bringeth forth death. We want to be very careful. We as Christians are very careful that we do not get caught up in the sin. We get caught up that we don't just kind of just get by with things. Get caught up that you move to Montana just to get away from everything. They say that God and civilization stopped at the Missouri. Years ago, they say that. A lot of people came to Montana not to find God, but to find gold. I'm reminded when I talked to a rancher one time, and I said, "Boy, ain't God good? Look at what He's done." He said, "Yeah, you ought to have seen it when God had it." That was his attitude. God is living here in Montana, by the way. And He knows your heart. He knows what you're doing. You can't run from Him, amen. If I make my bed in hell, I am there, God said. You take the wings of the morning, still there, amen. The word picture here about sin is this idea that when you have a rock in your hand and you sin, it's like having a rock in your hand. You actually throw that rock into the water, into a lake. And it just keeps going like this. That's the trouble of sin. I want you to build on some things today. First of all, a Christian needs to have self-control. You need self-control. And in that self-control, there will be, first of all, thought control. The Bible says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed with this world, but be transformed." Don't conform. Don't get in line with the world. It's a terrible world out there. It's a horrific world out there. This world is trying everything they can to destroy it, everything that is good. And they're doing a good job of it, even. "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This is where it all begins, right here. Your mind. Start thinking on things. "Oh yeah, I ought to do that. No, I don't know I should. Oh yeah." And all of a sudden there becomes a battle in your mind. And all of a sudden, usually what happens is, what? Mind over matter. Because if you don't have no mind, it don't matter. The battle of being immoral starts with your mind. The battle of thievery starts in your mind. I wonder if I can get away with it. What if I can take it without Mama knowing I'm taking it, or my dad knowing that I'm taking money out of his pocket, or knowing that if I can get away with it, it starts up here in your mind. I don't know what my wife will think about that, but maybe if I just start with their mind. And God says that we should not be conformed to this world, but by the transforming, by the renewing of your mind, renewing, starting it over, they may prove which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many are warm in here? You're hot. Raise your hand. Turn that thing on for a little bit, will you? How many are cold? Raise your hand. Here's my jacket. You want my jacket? It'd be like a tent. You could wrap yourself four times in this thing, girl. Omar the tent maker made this thing for me. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind. Having their understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard Him and have taught by Him the truth in Jesus. All right, you can cut it off. I've got it now. Thank you. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind. This is, you know, Satan plays a mind game on us. And it's our mind. He shows us something, some little blip that lights us up, something that makes us think about something. All of a sudden, I don't know about you, but all of a sudden it just really starts goading me or getting in my brain and things start going. I don't know about you, but my brain's going all the time. It's an amazing thing. The other day I was doing something, all of a sudden I thought about things when I was a little boy. I mean, I don't even know what triggered it. But I started thinking about little boy, thinking about my cousin, things we used to do, trouble we used to get into. And as I thought about those things, things just kept going and going and going and going. It's kind of like going in your computer and you're going to your files. I have thousands of pictures, and I go in there in my files, and you go to the icons and make them a little pretty good size, and then you can look at those pictures, but there's only one picture to look at. But you click that file on, and there's hundreds of pictures. And that seems like, that's kind of like my mind, you know. You're looking at, all of a sudden some file comes in your brain, and you start thinking about it, and all of a sudden it opens up. And there's a whole bunch of junk with it, amen. And I don't know about you, but it sure is for me. And I'm kind of like you, and you're kind of like me, and so I guess we both got the same problem, amen. And the Bible says that we need to renew that mind. And we need to put it under the blood. We need to say, dear God, I don't want to think about that. Something ever make you mad and all of a sudden you think of a curse word or think of something you want to say and you know it's not good to say, but you keep thinking of it and it makes you madder and madder. And the more you think about it, the more it irritates you, or somebody suggests something to you and all of a sudden you start thinking on something that wasn't even their business, but they said something about your business and all of a sudden now you're thinking about it, now all of a sudden you're going through the throat. What do I do? What do I do when that happens? How many, I'll be honest with you, how many that happened to you? Oh, so I guess Some of it didn't happen. Are you just so cold you can't raise your hand? If you move more, it'll warm you up. So that does happen to you? So how do you build on that? How do we, as a Christian? I know this may not be too good at preaching, but it sure is good living, amen? How do I do this? How do I get out of that mode? Maybe a sister calls you up and says something. Maybe a brother, maybe a cousin, maybe a family member that you're having. They have the outs on. You're not out with them, but they have the outs for you. How many have ever had that happen to you? And it infuriates you because it's changed. It's changed that communication. It's changed that love that you've had with them. And now you can't even hardly talk to them. What do I do when that happens? Don't look at me like that. You know that most of you have that problem. Well, I'll tell you how I do it, okay? You ready? I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can do this, but this is what I do. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. How can you think bad thoughts when you're talking about Jesus loving you? That's my little red button I push. Sometimes I'm like on a game show, you know. I tell you what, life really has a lot of complications to it, doesn't it? Right. We're not complicated. It's just those idiots that God brings in front of us. Amen.
Yeah. Yep.
What did the guy on Peanuts say? You know, I love human beings, but people I can't stand or something like that. Why is it that so many times that we have a hiccup in our life that, boy, everything's going good and all of a sudden somebody makes a phone call to us. Don't forget to turn your cell phone off or it'll embarrass you. Don't bother me any. But and all of a sudden your cell phone goes off and things are really good. Oh, somebody sends you a text. By the way, I receive two texts and I call you. I'm not that fast as like some of you guys. I want to talk face to face. Why is it that something can really light you up? Been lit up lately? Yeah. Somebody hurt you lately? Sticks and stones to break my bones? But words are never hurt. Whoever said that was an idiot. Could you say something nasty to me? It's going to hurt me. First of all, I can't believe you even think of that. Thinking of me that way. I thought you loved me. I thought I was, hey. Boy, it'll come, won't it? Fiery darts of the devil. Slaying us. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's killing us. And then when someone says that to me, bless God, my human nature says, or,
yeah.
Oh! You're at work, you're doing your job, you really think everything's going good, and your boss comes up and says, you know what, you're an idiot. And tell me something I don't know. Don't take yourself so serious. Yes, you do make mistakes. Yes, you do stupid stuff. I had a guy tell me some things the other day. I didn't like him telling me it, but the trouble is, most of it is the truth. Don't say amen to that. Are you out of your mind? Know when to say amen. I was at a church one time. They were giving prayer requests. And every time it was a prayer request, this guy said, amen. Yes, it was down south. I didn't say Kentucky. But anyway. They're giving prayer requests. And Pray for Sister Susie. She broke her leg. And this guy says, amen! This is, so-and-so had a terrible car wreck, wrecked their car, and the guy said, amen! I don't know if he worked at an insurance company or he worked for a car deal, but you know, he was excited about the people getting hurt and busted up. Amen. But there's some things in our life that we need to be very careful about. And this thing right here, the locker base of the brain, for most of us who know it's muy inteligente en la cabeza, see? But anyway, I just said you're not too smart in the brain. But anyway, most of us aren't. But this mind controls us. And you got to understand, when this mind controls us, we can really get in a lot of trouble. And we can say things that we should not say, even though you were provoked, even though somebody lit your fire, even though somebody turned electricity on, somebody burned you. As a Christian, we need to be very careful about what we do with this that God gave us. Isn't it amazing? If you have a computer after 3 or 4 years, either you just go and throw that one away and get a new one because it's so full of everything, you know. But our brain just keeps going. And going, and going, and going, and going, and going. That's why when you guys go to bed, your wife wants to talk to you. She wants to download all her information for that day. And on and on and on. Kind of like when you defragment your computer, you know. She's defragging, man. I had a computer that defrags, and every once in a while it'd say 60%, and then all of a sudden it goes back to start again. I thought, what is with that? You know. But our mind is something that we have to be very careful about as Christians. Our thought control. May I suggest that we need to reprogram our thoughts? And I will tell you that rules do not reprogram your thoughts. People think that you can adjudicate, or they think that they can make a law that this is what you can't. Did you read the paper this morning about the person that would not let on the airplane because she was showing too much of her body? Us preachers have been preaching for that a long time. Cover yourself up! Now the airplane says, you ain't riding on this plane, you're going to look like that. People's minds and hearts should have purity and honesty. And by the way, that is the greatest call to the Christian. James says, to live righteous. Look after the childless. The fatherless, excuse me. Look after the fatherless and the widow in great need and live unspotted by the world. Proverbs, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Those are biblical concepts. And some of you just say, whatever. You think what you want. You look at what you want. You do what the God says. You guard your mind. Don't you let put things into your mind. Don't tell your mind. Don't you tell me your mind is not working all the time. Walk down to Walmart or walk in some grocery store, and all of a sudden, some of the oldie and goodie music starts up. You can't get no.
Gotcha, didn't I? You're thinking satisfaction. Some of you old guys and old girls. Now I don't figure this new stuff out. Beautiful. But someday you're going to hear that, and someday you're going to remember where you're at, what you're doing, and who you're with. Yes, you are.
The mind, either you control it, or you let it control you. And I'll tell you what, you people that let your mind control you, you're in great trouble. A lot of the problem with PTSD is that people allow their mind to run away. They don't say, I'm not going to think of that. No, I'm not going there. Secondly, not only should you have mind control, but you ought to have eye control. Where I'm going to put my eyes. You say, what does that have to do with the Christian? A lot. Job said, listen to me very careful. Job said, Job 31:11, and you old guys ought to have this in your Bible. You ought to write this in the back of your Bible. Job 31:11, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You ought to write that in the back of your Bible. Or in the front of your Bible. That's what those white pages is for. You're supposed to write notes in there. The things that God has spoke to your heart and spoke to you that you want to keep and remember. Job 31:11. Ought to be in your mind. Job said, I will not think. I made a covenant in my eyes. I'm not going to look on her. I have one person to look on. That's my wife. Amen. That's who I get to look at. I don't want to look at anybody else. And when I'm talking about looking, I'm not talking about talking when I'm looking at you right now. I'm talking about having a lustful thought about a woman. And it's pretty easy. Because God made it for a man to look and he desires. The eye gate is the thing that catches them. Some of you girls, you dress up pretty, well, you're pretty provocative. You're supposed to do that for your husband, not for your neighbor. Be very careful how you dress. He said, I didn't come for that preacher. Well, I didn't figure you did, but I thought I'd give it to you while I got you here, Amen. Listen to what the Bible says. This is the Bible, okay? Bible, B-I-B-L-E. God put it in here for you. Psalm 101:3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's some powerful scripture. You all write that one down. Psalm 101:3. How about Proverbs 4:23-25? Keep thy eyes with all diligence. Listen, keep thy eyes with all diligence. Are your eyes important to you? You hunters, don't you like good eyesight? Artists? Mamas, I'm glad you have good eyesight when you wash dishes. You can be blind and you wash things. Hope you have good feeling, amen. Oh, that felt kind of funny. Scrub that off, amen. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and preserve lips, perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Wow. So God says, have good mind control. I'm not thinking of that. I'm not going that way. I'm not going to think of that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells. I'm not thinking about it. It is going to destroy me. I don't want to think about it. It is going to destroy my marriage. I don't want to think about it. It is going to destroy my friendship. I don't want to think about it. I'll tell you what, something happens to you big, you'll think over and over and over. You can't even sleep with it. Over and over and over, the thoughts in your mind. Hey, get it out. How do I do that? Punch the button and sing, Jesus loves me. Number two, have eye control. I'm not looking at it. Years ago, I used to drive down 52nd to go home. I hardly ever go down this road. I hate that road. I know Lauren Gibbons had a wreck down there. I don't like go down that road. Not only that's gravel. I come out of that, I'll go all the way down and come back. Well, years ago, if you went that way, there's a great big billboard. There's a beautiful, beautiful lady, half-dressed, with a bottle of whiskey in her hand. And the first day I went by that, I saw that thing, and man, I about ripped my neck off. I'm not going that way anymore. You say, why? These eyes need to be under control. What would you think of your preacher? Watch pornography. I have a couple guys that have all the codes, all the, access codes or to my computer. Sean Palmer works in the United States Air Force. He'd go into my computer anytime he wants, if my computer's on, and he can look at everything I've been looking at. I did that for a purpose. He has all my access codes. I got a couple other guys to do that for me. You know why? Because if everybody says, I bet you a preacher looking for... No, I'm not looking for pornography. And you can call Sean Popper and a couple other guys and say, hey, what's on preacher's computer? Well, a lot of pictures of his grandkids. A lot of hunting pictures and fishing pictures. A lot of church pictures. I want to make sure that there's somebody that watches over me. I don't trust myself. I had a guy come to my office a while back and said, preacher, don't you trust me? I said, no! He looked at me and said, I said, I don't even trust myself. My heart is desperately wicked, deceitful. Who can know it? Who in the world do you think I am? I don't trust nobody here. It don't surprise me when things happen. It doesn't surprise me when a while ago a preacher fell. Didn't surprise me. Broke my heart. Still grieve over it. It doesn't surprise me because every man and every woman has the capability of Judas, of Peter, of David, you name it. So I'd say that I want to make sure that I have mind control, eye control, and I also have to have body control. Number three, body control. Discipline my body. Don't live for my passions. What does the Bible say? In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Be careful. I also think there's another one. It's called friend control. Friend, F-R-I-E-N-D, friend control. You want to be careful who your friends are. You ought to be careful who you're running with. You ought to be careful who you... There are some people in this church I would not want my kids run with. You say, Pastor! Yeah. But I would not tell your kids that you wouldn't want them to run with them because they'll go to your friends and say, my daddy says, I can't run with you because you're a bad girl. And it's happened. And people leave the church over it instead of being able to stay here and help them. They leave. So they can't imagine their child being a little brat. You beat them all the time. What do you think they are? You be careful who your friends are. There are certain things in my life I wish that I would not have some friends. I was reading, I have a file in my computer of friends of days gone by, and I was reading it last night, and I saw Dwayne Leonard. Dwayne Leonard was a neighbor of mine. And we were walking home from high school one time after playing football. And Dwayne said to me, and I said to him, that's just when drugs were coming out. Just when marijuana was coming out, where some of this other stuff was coming out. Yeah, way back when. And I said, Dwayne, I'm going to promise you that I'll never take drugs. And he said, I'm going to promise you that I'll never take drugs. It's 12 o'clock. Somebody's just told on me. Thank you. I have enough buzzers in my pocket to know what time it is. Amen. Friend control. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fool shall be destroyed. A companion of fool shall be destroyed. It's hard enough that you live right with God, let alone having somebody that does not want to live for God. It's hard enough for you to stay away from the boys that mean evil to you and girls that mean evil to you than to have a friend that thinks it's okay. That's what happened to Ammon. Ammon desired his half-sister. And Ammon's cousin came and said, "Hey, this is how you can get her." Ammon would not have been smart enough to figure it out. But you get someone with a deviant mind, a cousin, a friend. That's why I say when you people go home, some of you people go home for 2 or 3 weeks, go home to your home that you grew up at and get around people you used to run with and get around your kids. Your kids get around their cousins and they don't have the standards and they don't have the things that you've been taught and you've been raising your kids, and all of a sudden they're in trouble. Because you weren't watching them. Your job is not to protect your child. Your job is not to trust your child. Your job is to protect your child. Right. Sexual predators are all over. It could be your uncle. Could be your father. It's your job to protect your child. Y'all got that? Also some circumstance control, and I close. Romans 13:14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You got a problem. You used to have a problem with drinking. You make sure you get as far away as you can from the booze any way you can. You don't store it in your refrigerator or put it out in the garage. You stay away from it. You got a smoking problem? Don't leave a pack of cigarettes close so you can get it. You're making provisions for the flesh. The flesh is ugly. It wants everything it can have because it wants to satisfy itself. Everybody's looking for the ultimate high. Don't run around people that are offering you, "Hey, you want to smoke?" Don't run around people that drink. Don't run around people that are immoral. "Hey man, you want to see this new movie I have?" I guess we forgot, we Christians that believe in the Word of God, we don't go to movies. I don't know if you know that or not, but we don't go to movies. You say, "Why not?" Well, first of all, I don't know what a movie ticket costs today. But you put that money out to that movie maker, that just makes more money for that movie maker to make more smut and more filth. "But you said I went to Walt Disney." Well, you paid money to the movie theater so they can get more movies in there, right? Pretty quiet here. Oh, by the way, years ago, Baptists never went to movies. So what happened? What happened? Something happened there, didn't it? Huh? Oh, slipped the cod. Well, yeah, I think it's okay. No, it's not okay. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Who knows what you went into to see? I'll tell you a really sad story. Years ago, I was in Pastor in Brookings, South, in Elkton, South Dakota. Went to Brookings one day. And I smelled popcorn. Now, I love popcorn. Don't I, brother? I can eat them. There ain't nothing more wonderful than Baptist manna. That's popcorn. And it ain't nothing like butter dripping off that popcorn, you know? Just your hands are just greasy with popcorn. You know what I'm talking about. I don't mean that stuff you put in the microwave and pop and it's got that funny teeth. I mean real, put it in a pot and pop it up, amen. And then put real butter that you didn't cook the snot out of it when you're, that is not very nice, cook the, all the goodies out of it in the microwave and just burn it. I'm talking about nice and cool and nice and easy cooking that butter, amen. And then pouring it over there. Ah, oh man, I'm telling you. Are you with me now? So we're walking by, and my dentist has his office right here, and I smell popcorn. There's a movie theater right there. I thought, just want popcorn? I walked in the movie theater, got a big deal of popcorn, walks out, and a deacon and his wife and all his kids are there. Hey, preacher, I know you go to the movie. I didn't go to the movie. I just buy. Oh, I don't look very good. I said, hey, brother, trust me. I didn't go to the movie. And he harassed me about it because he knew that I would not go. But anyway, abstain from all appearances of evil. Who knows that you didn't go watch some sexual filth puke that would make people gurgitate? Let me tell you something. Listen to me now. When you look on a woman like that, you're looking at somebody's little girl. And how would you like somebody looking at your little daughter like that? George, I think you'd rip their head off if somebody looked at your little daughter like that. So what's with this? So we want to be very careful that we control ourselves as a Christian. I said, man, I ain't coming back to this church. At least you come to the church, you know where we stand.
Amen.
And you know it's according to this Word of God. I'm not preaching nothing that my granddaddies didn't preach. I'm not preaching that D.L. Moody didn't preach and all those great old preachers used to preach. I'm preaching the same stuff. Just some of you never been around it. And some of you, you couldn't tell if you're a Christian or what. By your life and your lifestyle and the way you dress and the way you walk and the way you talk. Go to work. Hey, is he a Christian? I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I don't want anybody to put me on the stand and say, are you a Christian? If they took you today to court to prove that you're a Christian, would you have enough evidence to prove you're a Christian? Well, I hope so. When you're at work and you go eat, do you bow your head and ask God to leave you food, or do you drop a napkin on the food floor and pick it up while you're picking it up saying, dear God, thank you for this food, amen? Or you just rub your head like this? I'm just asking you. I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to encourage you to instill in your heart to live for God. That's what you came to church for, right? Or do you want to come to church just to hear a funny little story about me climbing up the apple tree and picking up an apple and throwing it, hitting my cousin, missing my cousin, breaking out the big window of their house? Is that what you're here for? Or are you here to be challenged to live closer and more godly to God? You can go to, there's a lot of churches in town that'll just, they'll scratch your ears a little bit and they're cute little things. But I'm going to tell you something. This is real.
Amen.
And you will stand before a holy God for what's in this book or not. And you can think, well, I just don't like that. Well, I just don't like, well, there's a lot of things I don't like either. But what does the Bible say? You come to this church, you're going to get Bible. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you all to live for God. How many grew up in a church like that? It's like you're doing all right. Some things you didn't like, did you? You know why you didn't like it? Because you were doing it. Well, snort like an old heifer and walk out, amen. Or said, bless God, at least we got a preacher to tell us how it is. He ain't ashamed of telling about this book, and he's not ashamed of telling he loved the Lord. And by the way, you can go, you just come with me a couple days. Come on! Or let me go with you a couple days. Let's go. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's make a difference in this world. Anybody can just float down the stream. It takes real men to, and real ladies, real boys, real guys, and girls to paddle up that old stream. It's hard. Hey, JD, practice easy? Not easy, is it? Hard, isn't it? People yell at you. Do they yell at you? Even your little brother punches his arm. He'd look at you, man. He'd melt you, boy. Don't mess with that big brother of yours. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard work. But not everybody on Friday got to put that uniform on. You know why you got to put that uniform on? You know why they voted you last year to have the most, what was it? The Iron Man? Because you stood there and took it, and you did what you had. Look at all your buddies at school. They don't do that. They don't put that beautiful blue-white uniform on. Do they? They're not going to go bison all over your windows. But it costs you something to do right. But the pay is so much more greater than what it cost you. Because you're a bison. The donk. Yeah. The same with Christian life. Anybody can call themselves a Christian. But to be a real Christian, it's work. It's being very careful that we keep our mind in control and we keep our eyes in control. We keep this old body that's always trying to make us do other things. He said, no, you're not going there. I'm not going there. Mm-mm. Ear control. I'm not listening to that. On and on. That's what makes us different. We're supposed to be different than this world. Amen or oh me, one or the other. You said, preacher, you've been preaching that 30 years. Same old, same old. Yep. Yep. As long as God gives me strength to climb up this old platform and these old lungs to keep preaching, I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to be in your face telling you you ought to live for God and you ought to walk with God. And I'll tell you what, your wife will thank me and your husband will thank me and your children will thank me someday and say, you know what, I'm glad that I did what the Bible said. You can't find a guy who loves you more than this old guy right up here behind this pulpit. I want you to walk for God. I don't want you to be a hazard, a dropout, a drop-off, a person that just halfway Christian business. I want you to be a full-throttle Christian and say, you know what? I'm getting on the gospel bus. You want to ride? Get on. You don't. But we're going on for Jesus, amen. And I remember those days in high school that I didn't live for God and I'd come home and have to turn the rock and roll on and turn it way up so I wouldn't think about some things that were going in my brain. And here I was pumping the bad stuff in my brain. It's crazy. But I learned something. I learned that the closer I walk to God, the more peace I have with Him. And really, who does it matter? Whether you got peace with God or peace with man? Peace with God. Well, people don't understand me. You're only on this earth for a few years. But you'll stay in heaven forever. It'd be best you have peace with God. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I know I'm went all over the place today, but I just want to encourage these people to live for you. God, we'll stand before a holy God someday. Help us, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Will you pray for me? Would you lift a hand? Let me pray for you. You hear today and say, you know, preacher, boy, there's some things you're saying today that I didn't like too well because that's where I'm at, but it does make sense. God, I pray you just be with these dear folk today. Lord, help us. Help them understand that they're loved. Help them understand that there's a preacher that loves them to death. But more than that, there's a God that loves them, who died on the cross, who gave his life so that they could have life everlasting, they could have forgiveness of their sins. Lord, if there's some things in our hearts and our lives that are just not right, Lord, you show us, help us to get right today. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you, everyone, to stand. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. I'm going to ask you to walk down this aisle and say, preacher, today I want to get saved. Preacher, today I want to get saved. I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Are you positive today? You're on your way to heaven. Are you sure of it? Second, you're here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come? You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Say, you know what? This is the kind of church I want to belong to. Why don't you come? Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us today. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk close to you. Help us, Lord, to live righteous in an unrighteous world. Help us, Lord Jesus, to watch what we think and what we allow into our ears and our eyes. Lord, help us to realize that there is a consequence for sin. For whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. It may be not us, but it may be our children or our grandchildren, but we will reap it. God, help us stay close to the Word of God. Help us realize that we have a great responsibility. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you listen to me? The plan for a Christian is to live godly. That's Jesus' plan for you. You understand that, right? Your plan for the Christian is to live godly. We are to live Christ-like. If you cannot do something realizing that Jesus Christ is right next to you, then you shouldn't do it. Isn't that a good idea? That's all I'm preaching today. That's all I'm trying to say. Hey, you have Jesus in your heart. If I ask you today, how many know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Most of you raise your hand today. And the Bible says, ye who are godly, we're to live Christ-like. We're supposed to live like Him. Don't get upset with a preacher. Don't shoot the messenger, amen. So I don't like that. Well, talk to my boss. He's the one who told me to preach it. Live godly in an ungodly world. We who live godly will be persecuted. People don't like you. You know why they don't like you? Because you cause them to think and realize they're not doing what they should be doing. And so that makes them uneasy. Just like at school, when the kid gets 100% on his class, everybody gets mad at him. Why? Because they didn't study. And it makes them look dumb. You know what? They are. This is Christian, same way in Christian life. There'll be Christians you're going to run into. You're going to bump into Christians. And they're going to say, hey, man, what are you doing that for? You don't have to do that. What are you? You're always kissing up to the preacher. No, I'm living by this book right here. And I don't have to answer my preacher. Well, you do. But anyway, I don't have to answer my preacher. I have to answer God. Some of you people got to. Anybody got a WWJD bracelet on? Anybody got one on? I guess that's past the fad now. We used to. It says, what would Jesus do? Charles Sheldon wrote a book called In His Steps. I have a bunch of them. Jim Donahue keeps buying them for me, and I give them away. And a preacher just wrote this book and talked about everything you're about to do, before you do it, you pray and think, what would Jesus do? And that'll take care of a lot of your problems. I'm done.